You're listening to The Gold Derby Show on the Gold Derby Podcast Network. Welcome back to Gold Derby. I'm Christopher Rosen. I'm joined by Joyce Ng and a special guest, Caitlin Thomas, who we all used to work at TV Guide together. Now we're here talking about Marvel. Caitlin, you've been doing so much Marvel stuff for us. It's wonderful.
Thanks for letting me do it. I actually get to talk about Marvel for like the first time ever. So,
and also we have Captain America joining us as well. I forgot to mention
Captain America. He is here.
Hello, Captain America. Thank you for your service. So we're talking about the Emmys, and Marvel is a big Emmy player this year. We were going to talk about their two shows that are eligible for this year's Emmys, and then we'll talk briefly about Loki, which Caitlin has been recapping for the site.
I'm recording this on Loki Wednesdays.
That's true. I just watched it earlier. So we'll get to that. We could say like spoiler. So we could talk a little more about like what happened in the fourth episode. But yeah, so Marvel, WandaVision seemingly like a big potential contender in the limited series category, even though limited series is so crowded. So Caitlin, I'd love to hear your take on WandaVision's overall Emmy like chances that you think, like, what are your thoughts, I guess, on WandaVision as an Emmy contender?
I actually feel really good about WandaVision. It's kind of different, obviously, from Marvel. And obviously Marvel's untested at the Emmys at this point. None of the Netflix stuff ever popped up, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this is Marvel's real first shot, I guess, at the Emmys. And WandaVision, I guess, I just felt like because it was so different, it might not fall to like, we don't like genre shows. And I feel like people started with The Mandalorian last year. I didn't expect that to get any nominations, and then like got 15 nominations last year. So I feel like people are actually paying attention to stuff that's on Disney Plus, even if it's, I don't know. So I feel really good about WandaVision overall. I feel really good about Catherine Hahn, especially. I feel like this is her time after so many years. Paul Bettany, I still would love for him to do really well. You know, Lizzie Olsen's probably going to hopefully score some, you know, recognition. But what about you guys? How do you feel about it?
I think you and I are the only ones predicting Paul to actually win right now.
you both think he's going to win, not just get nominated?
Like, that category is very open.
Which we talked about. Not the deepest bench of potential contenders.
Yeah. And, you know, like probably at like 4 p.m. on September 19th, they'll probably switch to like Ethan Hawke or something. But right now, why not? Like, have some fun, people. It's not like it's like Jason Sudeikis in Comedy Actor, where you just look really dumb if you're not predicting him, you know?
Yeah,
and
I mean,
not like any of his rivals are like that particularly strong either, so.
I think I have Hugh Grant maybe winning, which I feel like is never going to happen because that show might as well have come out 30 years ago. And so I don't think he's going to win. He's great, Paul Bettany on WandaVision. I'd be very happy if he won. I think he definitely is like, so it's interesting. Like, I think Lizzie Olsen has like so much of, is very, I think they're both really good in different ways, I guess. I don't know. I think Paul Bettany is very much like in his wheelhouse, just doing like charming stuff. And like is really kind of like effortlessly
good. He's funny, even though he's been funny for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, he's finally getting to be funny. So I feel like people will actually take notice of it.
So I think that's good. And Catherine Hahn is certainly leading in our odds. So I have Catherine Hahn winning, but I think Julianne Nicholson maybe will win in the Emmys in the end.
I switched to Julianne recently.
You did switch.
Yes.
I think she's got that recent buzz, I mean, coming right off of Mare of Easttown. It's more recent. It was a really, you know, dramatic kind of performance. Kind of feel like that might push her over the top.
I'm only thinking, maybe what if Catherine Hahn ends up somehow showing up in Loki, and then it's like, oh, then people remember that she's there and whatever. Then they'll be like, oh, I love Catherine Hahn in that. So and then Lizzie Olsen, I think, so I actually think both Bettany and Catherine Hahn will definitely get nominated. I could see Elizabeth Olsen not getting nominated because that category is so kind of deep that maybe people are just like take her for granted and not nominate her. Or is that totally not? I have her in there still getting nominated, but I could see a scenario where that doesn't happen. I don't know.
I actually think she's like pretty safe. I think we have like a solid top four with her and ATJ, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Kate Winslet and Michaela Cole. And I think it's that fifth slot that's kind of up for grabs. I currently have Kuso Mbedu from Underground Railroad, but as you and I have talked about, like that show can like seriously underperform. And I think Cynthia Erivo is still like fifth in the odds. And I could see her pulling, like, remember last year, Octavia Spencer just getting in there out of nowhere for that Netflix movie that no one watched. Like, I think Cynthia could do that. And I know you are standing Nicole Kidman.
I would stand Nicole. She's really good on I just like The Undoing. You know what the thing is? I watched it like 7 months after everybody else. I was like, you know, it's a good show. I just watched it in 2021. The Undoing. Has anybody heard of this? It's really quite fun. And then people are like, that came out a year ago. Nobody cares.
I think I just put Nicole back in my predictions because I was like, you know what? She's Nicole Kidman. I don't know. I feel like people are going to be like, oh yeah, she was on that thing. So I don't know.
So we talked about how none of the Marvel shows rated before the Emmys, so much so that I was like, oh yeah, there were Marvel shows before WandaVision, right? Good. Thank you for reminding me of that, Caitlin Day. Sorry to Daredevil and, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I was like, oh, like none of the Marvel movies and certainly, so none of them have ever gotten like significant acting award honors, right? And nominations or anything. That's certainly no Oscar nominations, even though
I mean they tried with RDJ.
They did try very hard for a Robert Downey Jr. Memorial nomination for Avengers Endgame. Never happened, but so I think it's interesting that they could get like three legit acting nominations that people would be like, oh yeah, of course. And like if one of those three doesn't get nominated, it would actually be a snub. I guess like are people, you know, they've had major actors in this. I don't know why do we think WandaVision took it more seriously than these other things from an award standpoint, I guess. Like even though it hasn't got nominated yet, like I said, like it seems like it will. People obviously are taking it as like a serious contender. What about this show do we think made that happen? I don't know.
I think it's the fact that it's like the first show that came out that was attached to the MCU and people were like real excited about it. They're like, this is great. And also you had no idea what was going on for most of the time. So people were talking about it and trying to figure it out, which really kept it in the eye, I think, more than the other Marvel stuff.
Joyce, what about you?
And homage to TV too. I think that's another, unlike Falcon Winter Soldier, which is just more of a traditional like boom, boom, pow, pow action series. Like, you know, they were, WandaVision was hopping through the decades. It was very episodic, unlike the other two shows that followed it. And it is like, I think it, you know, it wasn't supposed to be the first Marvel Disney Plus show. It was supposed to be Falcon Winter Soldier, but COVID messed everything up. So this was ready first. So I think it was kind of like a surprise almost that like, wow, like their first TV venture, even though it wasn't supposed to be the first one, was this like high concept series. And it actually worked really well. Cause I remember when the show was first like announced, like when the news broke, like, what is it, like 3 years ago now? Like everyone was just like, what the hell? And they were like making fun of the title. It's like, this sounds really weird, but it all actually worked. You know, I mean, it got like Marvel-y at the end. Of course it had to, but like in the lead up to that, like it was just, you know, and it was a weekly release. And it was just, you know, one of those shows that kept the conversation going for 9 weeks or no, not 9 weeks, like 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
They released two the first day, right?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I can't math anymore.
It should have been three. I think if they launched with three, it would have been better.
But also they gave us elites here in the media three to watch first.
Yes.
And that was like, oh, cool. And then I had to be like, oh, you only get to watch two if you're a normal. I guess that's fine. I don't know. But yeah, no, the three would have been good. I think
it would have, people would have probably been less confused at the outset if they'd seen the third episode with it.
Yeah. So we've talked about all that. Now I want to go a little deeper. I also have, so does the acting, does it extend further than those three leads? Does like Teyonah Parris get in also in limited series guest actress? I guess be my first one. I have her in there. So that's where I'm coming from. I actually think she could get nominated because she's really quite good on it. But what do you guys think?
I had her on like early back in March when, you know, like pre Mayor of Easttown. So, but I've since dropped her. Sorry, no offense to Teyonah. I think she's great, but I think, you know, Catherine just kind of sucked out of oxygen in regards to supporting actresses from that show. Yeah. I do think everyone's forgotten about Evan Peters because of Mayor of Easttown again. So like he is on the ballot for both, but this is a case where I don't think WandaVision is gonna eat any votes. I mean, it's a limited ballot, so they can vote for him twice if they wanted to. But I think people have, if you're gonna vote for him, you're gonna vote for him for Mayor of Easttown, not WandaVision.
Right. And maybe this only helps him, right, for Mayor of Easttown, because people are like, oh, I loved him in WandaVision. Sorry, Caitlin, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I feel like everyone thought that his character on WandaVision was going to be so huge and, you know, introduce X-Men or like the multiverse. And then it turned out he was a random guy, which it I feel like does joke. Not help him in this situation, because everyone was like, okay, he was just a random dude, a random actor.
It was Ralph Boner.
Right. He was Ralph. He was Agatha's Ralph. What a great one of the many great twists. Though, even though I think people were like slightly disappointed by the show, because they had, like you said, like built up a lot of elaborate theories and potential avenues down which it could have gone. That it
I don't even think like they let anyone on. It was just like the fandom now is just, it's like, you know, it's the post-Lost world we live in. Like everyone's just like theorizing, picking on like every little thing. Like I don't think they sprinkled in like that many clues to suggest anything else. It's just like he showed up and it wasn't original ATJ, Aaron Taylor Johnson, as Quicksilver. So everyone just started theorizing, which is fine and fun. But, you know, I don't think that was really at the fault of the show.
Like, I mean, they did cast him. I think casting him, knowing what he played in, you know, the other movies, they were thinking, yeah, well, let's mess with him a little bit. That's my opinion.
Right. Yeah. a little tangent. I just finished watching all of Lost again. Still in it. I still love it. It was great. But I do think I was like, watching it, I was like, wow, it really did change. It just rewired how people think about TV, probably for the worse, honestly. Just like, how we have to theorize everything. And when you watch it, when you watch it, we watched it over, like, we watched like two or three episodes a night over like many, many weeks. And it was like, I remember like thinking back and being like, a lot of this stuff that seems so important is just like totally thrown away. And also like, doesn't even need to be important and wasn't probably intended to be important, but because of the way people watch a show / a weekly rollout, it felt like it took like big proportions. I don't know. I was just like, I would highly recommend going back if you are interested in Lost. It was good.
I never finished Lost.
Me either.
Good.
I had to give it up after season one because it aired at the same time, I think, as Veronica Mars. And I went all in on Veronica Mars.
Okay.
And then, you know, we don't.
Oh, you should go back. It's good. And the ending is good. They actually, the last episode is actually really good. And I
have seen the series finale and like, I didn't care. Like I was neither angry or happy.
You got to build up. It's all about the characters and stuff. All right. So one more thing on WandaVision before we go to our second favorite Marvel show, maybe Falcon and Winter Soldier, but for WandaVision, I know I think Caitlin, you write about this, or Joyce, that and they submitted every episode for writing. Is that right? And they didn't really do
8 of 9. I think.
Yeah.
Eight of 9.
Which is the max they could submit because Jack Schaefer wrote the premiere and the finale, and you can only submit yourself once. So they maxed out in their submissions, which is a mistake.
So they maxed out on the submissions. So that means they didn't submit the premiere then. I'd imagine they submitted the finale, or did they submit the premiere?
She submitted the premiere, I believe.
Okay.
She didn't submit the finale.
Okay. Probably fine. But like, so 8, it seems like maybe a bad streak. Explain why that's such a bad strategy.
Well, you just don't want to oversubmit and possibly split your own vote. Like, yes, voters can nominate. They can nominate all 8 if they wanted to, since there's no limit to how many nominees they pick. But you don't want to give voters that many choices and confuse them. Like, you don't want them staring at a ballot and it's just like a block of WandaVision titles staring back at them and they can't decipher what is what. Like maybe they're looking for like the 8th episode with like the grief line, you know, but like they didn't know what it was called. Like, but you know, if you have like 1 or 2 standout episodes, like you have a better chance of getting that in. Like a lot of shows, like HBO is like super strategic with this. Like like last year's Succession only submitted 1 for Jesse Armstrong. Got in 1, obviously. Even Game of Thrones, they submitted the series finale. Got in. But like that was, you know, their strategy because they want to guarantee that nomination. And I mean, you know, let's be real. Like WandaVision's writing, good. I wouldn't say it's like top tier. So it was already kind of iffy for a writing nomination. And I think this just kind of hurts it even more.
Yeah, I think the other problem is too, I don't know the specific episodes. Even as I watch it every week, if you ask me right now, like what I'd be like, I remember what happened in WandaVision, but episode by episode, I'd be like, oh yeah, well maybe that was the '80s episode or the, you know, the Leave It to Beaver episode or whatever it was. But it's like, it kind of all blends together. And like, I don't know. I think that like, if they would have just picked one, you know, probably.
Which one would each of you have submitted then?
I would have submitted maybe the third, which is the one. So the, again, like a bad, but which is the one where Teyonah Parris gets thrown out and like wakes up outside and you realize that like they're kind of like in the two different worlds. That's, is that the third episode?
I think the end of the third one.
Yeah, that's
so that I would have picked that one. That one I was like way in on.
I think I was super into either the premiere or the second one. But in my defense, I feel like I was a really big like Bewitched fan growing up from Nick at Night. So I loved that episode automatically. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it would have. Probably been.
I mean, I think
I would have gone the premiere.
Yeah, pilots are always safe because it establishes the series. So I think Jack, between her two submissions, she won the right one because the finale is also, you know, like half of it is just like that, like floating down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then other Vision fighting with other Vision.
And then he just disappears. And
she knows. See you next movie. No, but come back in the next movie, West Coast Avengers or whatever the hell it is going to be. Who knows? Yeah. So then we have Falcon and Winter Soldier. We haven't really talked about as a big of a contender. Obviously, it's submitted as a drama, not a limited series, because they'll do a second season with Captain America and Winter Soldier or Captain America 4. I don't. It's like they're going to do. Wolf. What's that?
Captain America and White Wolf.
Right.
That should be, they really should have changed the, because that's going to be just a really confusing title after already having
Captain America. I think it's Captain America : The Winter Soldier.
Right. Yeah. I was not as much into the Falcon Winter Soldier as I was WandaVision, personally. I think there were some highlights. It was good. And it was good. And the things that I liked, but like, it just ended up not, I guess my biggest complaint was that they kind of sold it as like, a buddy comedy, and they were not really in it together to be a buddy comedy all that much. That was a big, I felt like a big issue with the show.
Well, they weren't together in the first episode.
That was right. A big mistake. It's not putting them together in the first episode. I was like, I don't know who decided this.
Right. And they sold it on their like wacky antics, like in the car. And like, it's going to be like, you know, like a 48 Hours or Lethal Weapon or any kind of like random 80s action comedy, buddy comedy, Midnight Run or whatever. And it wasn't like that at all. That said, I think I think the only nomination I have getting is Julia Louis-Dreyfus for playing Val as a guest actress. But that's it. I don't think it'll get much else. But do you guys, either one of you guys, have any other higher hopes or aspirations for Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I still have both Daniel Bruhl and Wyatt Russell in my supporting.
Wow.
So do I. Nice. So do I.
Wow.
Okay. I can't promise they'll still be there on July 13th, but I still have them. Just because that category, there's 8 slots and you got to fill it out.
So. I had,
and you know what? They're good on the show.
They are good on that show. I mean, I had really high hopes for this show just because I loved the characters, and then turned out that you know, Bucky and Sam were not the best parts of that show, which is kind of weird, I guess. I mean, obviously, Daniel is like the meme king. I feel like that might help him if people are like, "Oh yeah, that was kind of funny when he showed up," and then. I don't know about Wyatt. I just personally really like Wyatt, and I thought that he kind of played against type and might stand out for that. I don't know, but yeah, they're still in my predictions so far.
I just looked at my predictions, so I actually do have Wyatt in. So way to go, me! But I don't have Daniel Bruhl in. I do have Carl Lumley in because I thought I might switch this out, and he's an incredible long shot. I think his odds are like 100-1.
That would have been a perfect guest nomination, but yeah. Wasn't 3 episodes.
Right. So. But he does have like a major episode and like is like the emotional, probably like heart of the show somehow, like, which you maybe wouldn't have expected. I don't know. I thought he's really good on it. I don't think he'll get nominated. I definitely will change that, but it would be nice if it could support him. And it's interesting. You mentioned, so now we've already like, it's weird. Like you were saying, Caitlin, like, all of these characters are better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, or at least are like more. I mean, I thought Anthony Mackie's actually good on it, and like Sam is solid, and like I think his arc throughout the show is good. But Bucky, I think, is like not super engaging at all as a character in this iteration of it. I don't know. I just didn't love it.
I feel it's just weird. Like, yeah, like it was kind of like the material they had to, because like the show, we've talked about this, well, I've talked about it separately with both of you. Like, the show was basically a movie. It was a 6-hour movie that they chopped up into 6 parts.
Yep.
And like the pacing was kind of weird. And obviously it was like, you know, a buildup to turn Sam into Cap to accept the mantle. And yeah, he has like, you know, his whole arc with Carl Lumley's character. But I think the problem with Bucky, like, I think he's interesting and, you know, so broody all the time. But I think the most interesting parts of him are stuff we haven't seen yet, which is post Captain America : The Winter Soldier and pre Captain America : Civil War. Like when he realized like who he was and like did the work in Budapest or Romania, not Budapest, Romania, mixing up Black Widow.
You're mixing up your Marvel.
I know. I think like that's the most interesting part of his character in the MCU, and we haven't seen it. And then on the show, it was just kind of like, he was just kind of like helping Sam towards this. Like he was just like obsessed with, you know, preserving the Captain America mantle and having Sam take it on, you know, honoring Steve and like his family. Like, I thought like his therapy stuff in the first episode was good, but like that just ended so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of like joked with us about that, because they were like, here's what we're going to do with Bucky. You see him in therapy and he's working through his stuff. And I was like, this is great. He hasn't worked through any of this trauma after being a killing machine. And then they were like, I'm not doing that therapy anymore. I'm going to go be a weird comedic relief that I've never been before, because I had 4 lines in all the other movies. I don't know.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm like, it was not bad, but I just was like, it wasn't as good as WandaVision.
I still enjoyed it. Like,
I enjoyed the heck out of it, but yeah. It just was not the level that I was really kind of hoping for, I guess, or really expected it to be.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think Caitlin, you mentioned this before, like how it was supposed to be first, or maybe I don't remember, Joyce, you maybe said it, but it was supposed to be the first show, and I think like what a difference that would have made. I think to the response of WandaVision, maybe too. Like if this was first, I think people would have been like, eh, or maybe it would have even been worse than like, eh, right? Because it'd been like, oh, this doesn't work or whatever. And then maybe WandaVision comes on and people are like, well, not as into the idea of it because they were like let down by Falcon Winter Soldier or whatever it is. And then WandaVision doesn't maybe explode like it does. And then, you know, it just is like a weird what if, I feel like. And the same with like, even Val, the whole thing is just it's interesting. I guess the one person I wanted to mention who we didn't talk about, I think Caitlin, you did write about this, is a great guest actor potential for Don Cheadle, who's in the premiere of Falcon Winter Soldier for 30 seconds.
It's an end credit.
Is it 30 seconds? How long is he in it for?
I think I added it up. I think it's about 1:45. Most of that he's just walking around the Captain America Museum and was like, why didn't you keep the shield, Sam? And then he leaves and you never see him again. And I was like, Don.
I really thought he was going to come back maybe for like the finale. Doesn't come back.
No, man. He got paid. Don Cheadle got paid to show for one episode for like a day's work.
But it was like, Don, do this and then you'll have your own series.
Right. Why not? I'd be in for a War Machine series. He's great. I love him in Iron Man 3. Like, that's the best War Machine. Like, do more of that. Like, you know, make him like an action star too. I don't know. I'd be in on it.
But also, Don Cheadle, 10-time Emmy nominee, has never won.
Really pulling for him.
I mean, what if he gets
after it's open?
If there is a big Marvel push and like people are taking this seriously, like, why not? Like, maybe he does get in.
I mean, I feel like people will also see his name and be like, I like Don Cheadle. I feel like, no disrespect to Don Cheadle, he's a great actor, but like some of the nominations he's gotten in the last decade or whatever, probably not really that earned. I don't know. I didn't watch all of House of Lies, and I know that he's great, but yeah, I don't know.
I understand what you're saying. I mean, there does get to a point where people are just like, I like this actor, I'm going to just nominate them, right? Like, it's kind of like a, just going to like,
yeah,
kind of
and no offense to him, like he was never winning for any of those years.
Yeah.
So now those are, so that's the Marvel, like current Marvel eligibility. Now we're talking, like we said, on the day of Loki episode 4 premiere. If you haven't watched Loki episode 4, I'm just going to say, turn this off, because I think we should just spoil like what's going on. And I don't want people to get mad that we're going to talk about it since we've all seen it. And basically, if you like Loki, you probably should have watched it already before listening to a Marvel potential an episode, a podcast, a video, or whatever about Marvel. So Loki would be up then for Emmys next year. And I guess, do we even know yet if they're counting it as a limited series or is there a season two of Loki coming?
They haven't confirmed it, but I think for the last like year, everyone sort of assumed that Loki is
like allegedly a second season's development. And also Tom Hiddleston will do it play Loki until he's on his deathbed. So
until they're literally like, no, Tom, you cannot come back this time. He'll play it forever.
So I absolutely love this show. I think I think it's actually, we'll see how it turns out, but I do like it more than WandaVision even personally. I think it's so much fun. I love, whatever. I just like it. It's so good. And I don't know. I would be wondering, I guess it was supposed to premiere in May, would have made it eligible for this year's Emmys. I imagine they pushed it back because they didn't want to like to clutter it up and maybe crowd themselves out of many nominations and splitting drama and limited series like they did with Falcon Winter Soldier and WandaVision, probably a good strategy. So now Loki's up for next year's Emmys, where it'll presumably be alongside like Hawkeye, I imagine, for Marvel, right? And yeah, that's maybe it for now. Oh, Moon Knight, I guess, right? And like all those other ones that are coming.
Well, that's filming now, so I don't know if you're ready.
I think that was supposed to come potentially at the end of this year too. So yeah, I think it'll be up against all of those. My only problem is I'm like, are people going to remember Loki aired like in that? Whenever shows premiere in June, you know, who remembers them the following year when it comes time to nominate?
Yeah. And you need to be like really strong or like memorable in some way. And also like, we don't have the Globes this year and Golden Globe winner, Tom Hiddleston for The Night Manager, Never Forget. So they won't have that to bank on as like a winter award. So I don't think it'll get in a SAG. WandaVision is not eligible at SAG next year because they changed the calendar to match with the film awards this year. So it was eligible this year, did not get in, obviously. So I guess they could get into, or like Loki could get into Critics' Choice Awards and they'll get like tech fields and stuff, but I don't know in terms of like him, like, you know, acting and, you know, Owen Wilson and series, especially, you know, we have like all the big time players coming back in the fall, like Succession and everything.
Right.
And if it's a continuing series and it's going up against Succession, we got the like 400 people on Succession now.
So all the tall people.
All the tall people versus the short people. That's Succession season 3.
And Tom Hiddleston is tall, but. And he can wear a suit.
He should have joined the show. Why didn't he join Succession?
Maybe he will. He's in poor. I guess that's the problem is I just think people are going to forget about it and it's going to be squeezed out by like, not the real shows, but like you said, like a lot of the bigger like shows are going to be on for the 2022 Emmys, like Succession and stuff. And I think that they're not going to remember Loki, but I think, you know, he's great. He's so good. I would love for him to get like people to remember him and, you know, like, who knows? I don't know. I just think he's like really good on it. I'm not sure where else I would nominate it. Like Owen Wilson is not, he doesn't have as much to do. So I'm like, not convinced that there's still 2 episodes left. So we'll see. Based on what happened in this last episode, maybe he's not even, he'll be back. I'd imagine. He's gotta be back. You know, and I guess then maybe, I guess we'll see how, so like Richard E. Grant, who, spoiler alert, is in the end of this episode, we finally get to see him as like old Loki, basically, in the credit scene. I could just see like him, depending on what happens with him, I'm like, oh, maybe that's a nomination. People like Richard E. Grant. I don't know. But I guess you're right. Nobody's going to remember the show exists because he'll be really on to like Moon Knight.
It's really unfortunate. Tom Hiddleston's been great since like the first time he portrayed Loki, and he's had like the best arc, at least in my opinion, throughout the entire MCU. And so it kind of would bum me out if he's completely overlooked, but I won't be surprised at all if he's
completely
overlooked next year.
Yeah, I think it would need to like really stick the landing in the next 2 episodes in the finale and like completely blow people away for them to remember it and him for next year. So I don't know, maybe they'll like immediately renew it and then they could get season 2 in the can.
right?
Like air during voting next year or something.
Or maybe they just are like, oh, it's a limited series. We're going to call it like another Loki or something. And it doesn't count. It's not part of this second. There's no second season. It's just another limited series of Loki. And then we'll just sneak it in there. And maybe limited series won't be as competitive next year. Although I probably will be, but who knows?
It's competitive every year.
Okay. It's become like most competitive. I feel like drama, less competitive. Comedy, less competitive. Limited series is where it's at ever since FX got into the anthology series and limited series game.
Remember when limited series and TV movie was merged?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's like unbelievably good. Well, that's because this is where the only place where they make things. They don't make movies anymore, so they have to make limited series, and they don't make like shows. It's just like everything is a limited series. It's like, okay, like Kate Winslet, sure, Mare of Easttown, great limited series, would have been a movie 6 years ago, but now
I mean,
it's
limited. I hope that stays a limited series because I do not need a season two of Mare of Easttown.
Yeah, no, say, renew it. So.
I'm so tired of that, like that we have to do this with every HBO show that people like, where it's like
shows end. That's okay. Like,
let them end. Don't bring them back. Don't revive them. Don't do spin-offs. Don't renew one from limited series. Yeah.
You don't need a WandaVision season two, which I don't even know how that would work.
No. They've been saying the whole time, they were like, no, the ending of WandaVision doesn't really make sense for us to have a season two. People keep asking. For the last year, they've asked them.
And I'm can't like, duplicate that concept again. Yeah.
It's a one-shot deal. I mean, the people are still asking for like a Queen's Gambit season two. No, that's it. It's done. It was one and done. It's like a...
It was again, if you love it so much.
Because it's like good, one and done. That's it. It was like a movie. That was like a long movie, Queen's Gambit, seven-hour movie. Okay, we should wrap up here. I was going to say we should talk about Black Widow, but I forgot it hasn't come out yet. And there are things I would love to talk to you both about it with regard to the TV shows. Maybe after Black Widow comes out, we could come back and do like a thing about this. Because I think there's stuff that happens in Black Widow that affects future Marvel shows. That
and also maybe the Emmys.
What's that?
Maybe the Emmys.
That's right. That's what I was like. Oh, this is good. So we'll come back. We'll do Black Widow later. But so no spoilers there. But we all saw Black Widow. And again, we'll talk about that later. But Caitlin, thank you so much for doing this. This is such a treat.
Thank you for having me on to talk about one of my favorite things, which is
you're our chief Marvel correspondent.
The yes. best. Yeah.
I'm really glad that turned out well for me.
It's good. All right. All right. Well, bye. See you next time.
Subscribe to The Gold Derby Show wherever you get your podcast and visit Gold Derby at goldderby.com to predict the latest Hollywood races from the Emmys to the Oscars to every reality TV show in between.